My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
And welcome in.
Ground ball percentage. Where was that pitch? It was about belt high for Jake, well, and he knew it too.
Well, he knew at the very least he'd given his team the lead.
But come on, Giants. It's the second half of the season. We just clean the slate, hand it over to the bullpen, and you get that? Welcome in. Dan Amone alongside my man Sammy Lubman. Sam, how you been, man? It's been a while.
Yeah, hello there, Dan. I'll be honest. I'd be a little bit better if a lot of things went differently last night at Coors Field between the Giants and the Rockies. Another Denver debacle, a Coors catastrophe. There have been so many times in my childhood growing up and into my adult life where I have gone to bed after a Giants game at Coors Field just feeling like I had all the soul ripped right out of me. And last night was another classic chapter of just a miserable night at Coors Field for the Giants.
We'll go right into childhood bad memories with Sam Lubman within 30 seconds of the show. Let's talk about it because Sam, my man, probably covers and or knows the Giants intimately more than any other personality. I'm willing to say that here at 95.7 The Game, so I'm curious to get into this. Let's talk about San Francisco. Not only what happened last night, but we'll take a look at sort of the macro going forward. Are they going to be buyers or sellers at the deadline that is now looming? But as you look at this team that now slips to four games under the 500 mark, they're, I believe, still very much in the hunt of that last wild card, potentially getting into the postseason. Is that even a reality? Let's take a look at last night. I want to start because I'm just one of those old school. When you pull a pitcher and he hasn't given up a run, albeit, you know, I know that you want to keep an eye on Kyle Harrison as he gets into the second half of the season because he's never gone this deep before, right? So, you know, you're certainly going to surmise his pitch count and make sure he's going to be available down the stretch. But my goodness, five innings, you having to give up a run. Simply put, just let the guy go.
Yeah,
get him out there in the
sixth. You probably could have gotten a little bit more out of him. I do know with Harrison, though, they are going to be pushing him to a career high in innings this year. They don't want to obviously expend too much of him. I think they're probably going to want to try and cap him around 150 this year. That's just my guess. I think I don't know where he's at right now. He's probably close to like the 90 area right now. Yeah, I get that, to let him go one more inning. But Dan, where things really went, you know, yeah, because that is where things fell apart. Randy Rodriguez, you've seen promise at times this year with him, but he's a young reliever, so you're going to have nights like this. And the big problem is that there's letting Harrison go, how long you let him go. But when it comes to Coors Field, Dan, I feel like there's kind of two principles you need to live by. You need to take advantage of the opportunities that are given to you.
Yeah.
And you cannot create opportunities for the Rockies. Because the Rockies, I mean, they have one of the true kind of home field advantages in baseball when they know they have that last at-bat. They know that at any moment, a rally can just kind of snowball out of nowhere. and you cannot give them opportunities. And Randy Rodriguez, you know, he kind of let them have an opportunity. But then you go to the seventh inning, Matt Chapman has that throwing error to Lamont Wade Jr. And then right out, which, you know, allowed the tying run to score. If Chapman or Wade, if he's able to pick that, you get out of that inning with a 3-2 lead, and we might be talking about a different game here. But the Giants also, they were 1-for-8 in score, with runners in scoring position last night. They had, I believe it was the third inning, they had second and third with no outs, and you had Ramos, Bailey, and Conforto coming up. And you only got one run out of that. You got your big boys coming up in Coors Field against a very bad Rockies team. Now, granted, Cal Quantrill, he's not an awful starter. He is a guy the Rockies might be trying to move next week at the deadline. But you got to come away with more runs there. And the Giants didn't do that. You didn't execute. When you have only three runs at Coors Field, I'm not saying it's impossible to win. You can still win with three runs at Coors Field, but you're just making it harder for yourself.
You just get the feeling last night, and it was palpable, that you continue to let Colorado hang around. And when you're up 3-0 and you have those opportunities, you knew you had to cash in, and you just had the sense in the back of your head, this doesn't feel right. Even though you're up three runs, which means nothing in Colorado. Also, a bit of bad luck. Because my man Wisely went down the line, what could have been two runs. I don't think I've ever seen that before. Ricochets off the ump.
Well, it hit off the base, and then it hit off the umpire. And it's just, the umpire just kind of gives like a, what are you going to do there? And it's just, I think Wisely said afterwards, he was just kind of laughing, like, of course that would happen to me. But, like, of course that would happen to this Giants team. It's just, you can't catch a break sometimes. And, yeah, Coors Field, I always like to believe, Dan, that when Coors Field was built, there was, like, some coven of witches that, like, came in from, like, maybe, like, Greeley or Boulder or some other, you know, Colorado suburb. And, just cast black magic all over the field that was just meant to torment the Giants for all of eternity. It's just, I don't know what it is. It's just that ballpark, you know, even with the success they've had there over the last few years, that ballpark is a house of horrors. And at some point, at least one game a year, you're going to have a game where Coors Field just rears its ugly head and just kicks the Giants' teeth in.
Well, I can tell you, quite frankly, they shouldn't be playing baseball in Colorado. It's silly out there. Seriously. That's been just an eyesore. It's been a mistake for over
That's a ballpark I really want to go to, though, because Coors Field just looks like an absolutely gorgeous ballpark.
It's okay. I've been there. It's a little bandbox. And I will say this about Colorado.
It's a big outfield for a bandbox.
What are they, like 30 games under 500?
Well, no, yeah. I don't know if you're ever going to have a successful baseball team in Colorado.
No. Who's going to pitch there? Who wants to pitch in Colorado?
I mean, the few years they have been good, obviously there was that 07 run they caught fire. They were really good there.
Tulowitzki.
Yeah, that was an offensive first team. I mean, I think the only pitcher who actually like consistently ever pitched well there in any capacity was Ubaldo Jimenez.
Oh, that's right.
And that was damn near 15 years ago now.
But they still sell that place out. Well, they don't sell it out, but I mean, it's like, you know, a good 35, 40,000.
Oh, yeah, that's why. I don't know. Is that just because the ballpark is that nice, or is it just because people in Colorado just really love baseball?
What else are you going to do in Denver on a Friday night? I have no idea. I will say this, though.
I feel like there's things to do in Denver.
Hang with me. Are you a big Denver guy?
I've never been to Denver. Okay. I had a layover in the airport once. That's about it. So it's Denver's on my list of places I need to get to.
All right, so here's my thing when it comes to the Giants. All right, and you can go right after me. And I am not a homer when it comes to the Giants. I mean, the line can start behind me if you want to throw knives at Farhan. I've done that before.
No,
I certainly
hasn't?
Didn't buy into the last couple of years. They look like a 500 team. But there is just a level of optimism, for whatever reason, I feel with this year's team. And it might be with the infusion of youth. And I know they did that last year, but I think that their foundation is a little bit more solid this year, as opposed to last year or years prior where they were trying to intermix some of the younger players. But you had an aging Brandon Crawford, even posing. You looked around and said, yeah, this imbalance doesn't really work. Chapman, and I think the right side of the infield, whether it's Flores or Lamont Wade or Tyro Estrada, I mean, you have some pieces there. And Patrick Bailey is established as a good catcher. I have a sense that there's a kick in this team. Call me crazy. That when we get to August, and the schedule is certainly in their favor, they have, I believe, the 30th easiest schedule in Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah, no, it sets up well for them in the second half. There's less travel, there's less games against the big boys, so yeah, it definitely sets up well.
And I just feel as though that there's magic potentially for this team, whether it's, you know, Estrada, who's cooled a bit, Elliot Ramos, whether it's you know, some of these young players that, along with his babyface kid, who's the pitcher that I'm thinking about, the Birdsong?
Oh, Hayden Birdsong? Yeah.
That they're missing right now, but you're going to get healthier. It looks as though Cobb and Robbie Ray are on their way. You hope that the bullpen works itself out. I just have two questions. If you were to buy into what I believe, because I do have this sense that the glass is half full for the Giants, and I typically don't.
Well, I feel like Giants fans just, on the whole, are a little bit more of an optimistic bunch.
I'm not, though.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely a lot of pessimistic Giants fans out there. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like, on the whole, there's this belief that, yeah, you know, they could turn around. They just need some breaks to go their way. They just need to get healthy. They can still put this together. I do sense that there's some of that optimism. Nights like last night, though, are a great way to stomp that.
Well, there's two areas that sort of quell my optimism.
Yeah, what do you got?
Shortstop and the closer. Like, you cannot be a good baseball team in 2024 and not have at least a good defensive shortstop, or at least a named or a quality guy at that six hole. And quite frankly, the closer role right now is pretty much up for grabs.
It's been in flux a lot with Doval. Let's start with the Doval part first. My theory there is just because he led the league in saves last year. Yeah, he got the win in the All-Star game last year. He was electric last year. The thing about Doval is obviously there's the recurring issue of command. It does come and go at times. When he is on, when he is locked in, he's damn near unhittable. You know, especially when he's locating that 100-mile-an-hour sinker. Oh, it's a thing of beauty.
I think that's the operative word, is location, with this guy.
It is. It's hard to throw that hard and that accurately too. But again, that's his calling card. He has to be able to execute there. I've had issues with how the Giants have used him at times this year. Bob Melvin has brought him in a lot of non-save situations. And when you're a closer, like, you got to have a bit of a weirdness to you when you're a closer. You know, we all remember Brian Wilson. I think he was the extreme there. But, you know, closers, there's a weirdness or just a difference of personality that you have to have, because you are taking on the three most important pressure-packed outs of every game when you come in. You know, you got to be a little bit crazy to want to dive into that. And Doval, I do think he kind of has that kind of something's going on there, which you like in a closer. But when you bring him in a non-safe situation, you take away that edge, you are taking something away from a close. You are taking something out of him. It's hard to manufacture that high stakes feeling when you're coming in a 7-1 ball game. And when you don't have that edge, Brian Wilson was another perfect example of that. You know, when he didn't have a safe situation, it almost like he would create a safe situation.
So you don't believe in Bob Melvin saying he needs to get some work, even though it's not a safe situation, don't mess with him?
I don't like it. No, I don't think it works for Doval. He did that a lot early on, and he had a lot of bad outings in those non-safe situations, and I think that kind of messed him up. I think Bob Melvin's done an okay job this year, considering what he's given. If I were to make a list of all things wrong with the Giants, I don't think Melvin cracks my top five. He might even crack my top 10. But the use of the bullpen early on, it was a struggle for Bob. I think he was struggling to figure out where guys go, what roles guys need to have. Once he kind of got things settled in, you saw the bullpen kind of right itself a little bit. Of course, that was right at the time when they had to start bullpenning a lot of games, which kind of chewed in some of these bullpen numbers here. But yeah, I think the way just all those times bringing Doval in these non-safe situations, all those times he got lit up in those non-safe situations, that kind of gets to you. There was a point earlier in the year, I think it was, I don't know if it was the Yankees series or one of the series after. He has a rough outing in a non-safe situation, goes into the dugout, and he slams a corner on the ground. That's the kind of frustration we haven't seen from Doval that much. And of course, now you got all the conspiracy theories. He has no friends in the clubhouse. He's this, he's that. I'm not going to speak to that. But he is, he's kind of a mercurial personality to a degree. And it's been frustrating to see him struggle this year. You got a lot of people who I think, oh, just trade him at this point. You'd be selling low if you did do that. I would like to see the Giants try and see if they can figure out what is kind of wrong with him this year, because, Dan, we've seen when he's on and how great he can be.
Yeah, are you ready to move off on him? And if so, who is it, Ryan Walker that's going to close for you?
See, I don't know if Walker – I like Ryan Walker a lot. You know, a big thing with him, though, it's the deception. He's got that crossfire delivery, which gives a very different look when his pitches come out. You know, there's a lot more side-to-side movement with some of his pitches there. That sinker could definitely move, though. Like, he's definitely got some gas. But that slider, though, he has to be able to locate it. It's like any slider. And I don't know if Walker's a ninth inning guy, though. Like, he's good. I can see him maybe as an eighth inning guy, but I don't see him as a ninth inning guy. The fact of the matter is, the Giants just don't really have any options for the ninth inning, unless they decide to move Jordan Hicks out of the rotation to...
Well, he wasn't a closer with St. Louis, though.
No, he was a late inning guy, but he's got the stuff that he could be a closer. So that could be an option there if the Giants do decide to go down that route. Though I'm not really sure what their plan right now is for Jordan Hicks. He's got to go to the bullpen at some point. I just don't know when.
Yeah, I think I would still put in the hands of Duvall. So the second half of my question, to give me some level of security for a guy who believes that actually this is a team that can make a run, and if they get into the playoffs, as Arizona proved a year ago, as baseball has been proven over the last 10 years, that anything can happen, right? Mm-hmm. And as the Los Angeles Dodgers, who have been so underwhelming despite the payroll and despite all the superstars, have also proven on the other end of the spectrum that there's no guarantee you're going to win squat. So just get into the dance and then just play 3 weeks of good baseball, and the Giants could be that team this year. Yes, I am actually going that far ahead because I don't know what it is about this team, but I do feel as though that there's a little magic still left in the bag despite the frustrating loss last night. But the other thing that sort of keeps me in check, it's not only the closer, but it's the shortstop position. And now Luciano, who was supposed to be the future, as I understand it, is playing second base in Sacramento. So is the project in terms of him playing shortstop, is that done?
I'm not sure what position they're going to have him playing, whether it's going to be short, whether it's going to be second, where they move him to the outfield. And honestly, I'm not even sure what team he's going to be playing for. If the Giants do decide to make a big deal at the deadline to bring some sort of help in, I think...
Bo Bichette, baby.
Oh, I would love Bo Bichette. Oh, my dream is the monster trade for Vlad Jr. and Bo Bichette.
Like, well, you don't need Vlad Jr., though, do you?
Oh, no, I think you need a big bopper in this lineup to protect Elliot Ramos, to throw into that cleanup spot. Like, the Giants have not had a legitimate cleanup hitter basically since Barry Bonds. No disrespect to the stuff that Buster Posey did over the years. Buster was never your prototypical cleanup hitter. The Giants miscast him as that for years. Hunter Pence handled it, you know, admirably for a while. But the Giants,
so
they need
wait,
that.
What is your definition of a cleanup hitter?
A guy like Vlad Jr., a guy who can just kind of sleepwalk into a 35 home run season,
well,
who has that potential, has that power.
But is the park conducive to quote-unquote a cleanup hitter? And the reasons why the Buster Posey's and the Hunter Pence's have been able to excel, it's because it's basically what the park dictates, which is your gap-to-gap. I mean, the last time they had a 30 home run hitter...
It was Barry Bonds.
It's Barry Bonds. Well, I mean,
Elliot Ramos is on pace to break that this year right now. So
he's got 14.
He's got 16, I believe, actually. So he's on a really good home run. Dan, he's on a 40 home run pace right now, despite the fact that he missed the first month of the season. So we'll see what August does to him, the dog days. They have a way of chewing guys up here.
Yeah, he slowed down of late.
I think they're starting to do here, and you kind of saw it a little bit last night, is they found a bit of a hole in his swing, which is if you make him chase that high cheese, you know, upstairs, he will try and go after it. You're starting to see more teams do it now. In fact, in his first two at-bats last night, you know, the first at-bat, you know, or sorry, his first at-bat and his third at-bat, but he strikes out, you know, in both of those on the high sinker there. So teams are going to keep attacking him there. And when you got, you know, Patrick Bailey, who I do like a lot, I don't like him as a cleanup hitter, and Michael Conforto backing him up in the lineup, it's just you're going to have no problem trying to make Ramos chase, because I don't think you're all that scared of the guys who are coming after
him. The hell happened to Soler?
He was cooking for a while. I thought he was coming around, and then the month of June turn comes, and he's cooking with hot grease, and now he's regressing back into Pedro Serrano territory.
My goodness, have another strikeout, my man. That is ridiculous. I mean, that was supposed to be your big bopper. I think that's just sort
the
of...
The line I always get, my dad always texts me, I've never seen Soler get a hit. It's like, dude, you watch all these games. Have you never seen it? Like, where were you in June? But Soler was cooking in June. I kind of saw it coming. He's kind of come back down to earth a little bit, unfortunately. But
well, I guess it gets back to the Vlad Guerrero. What was his high? He had like 48 home runs, I want to say, 1 year. I mean, I just don't think that's happening in San Francisco. And that sort of, you talk about the psyche on a closer, that sort of plays into the head of a guy like Soler. And if a guy just wants to sit back on his heels and swing and give you three runs with one swing of the bat and give you 35, 40 home runs a year because that's what they do, San Francisco is a completely different animal.
But here's the other side of that one, Dan. Yeah, he did hit. He had 48 home runs in 2021. He's made the All-Star team the last 4 years. He's got 15 home runs this year.
He's kind of up and down.
He got off to a slow start this year.
Yeah.
He's been on my fantasy team the last 2 years, so I've been able to keep
him. And Bo Bichette, quite frankly, has been not putting up similar numbers as he has.
No, and
this
I
year.
Don't think Bo Bichette's power would translate to Oracle Park. You know, I could see a lot of his, you know, the home runs that would have been gone in Toronto or bouncing off the wall here in San Francisco for doubles, which that's fine. You know, but Bichette's a capable shortstop. But the other part of it, Dan, the other reason why you need to get a guy like a Vlad Jr. is you need the star power. You need a guy who you're just like, you need to go, you just want to see at the yard. I think Elliot Ramos, he's kind of trending in that direction, but like, this is the extreme example, but you, when you went to Giants games back in the day when Barry Bonds was playing there, everyone would always say until, you know, at least the seventh, eighth inning, because they want to get that last Barry Bonds at bat to see what happens. And it was always, you know, in the eighth inning, Bonds would take his last at bat. Then you just see everybody start to leave, you know, winning or losing. That's when, because that's what people want to see. People want to see Barry Bonds. You know, even in the late 2010s, when the Giants were just a very, very bad team, people still went because they wanted to see Buster Posey. They wanted to see Madison Bumgarner. There was that fan attachment to the Brandons. You get a guy like Vlad Jr., that's star power. That's a marquee name that you could put over Oracle Park and see, come see Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and the Giants.
Well, I think they have more of a needed shortstop than first base, I guess is what I'm saying.
No, I mean, yes. If you're looking purely there, yes. But, I mean, I do like what we're seeing from Brett Wisely there.
But is Wisely a major league shortstop?
He's
like
good,
a second baseman who's converted to a shortstop.
Yeah, they do need to figure something out there. Yes, I guess if you had to pick one or the other, the shortstop is the bigger need, but first base is also a power position.
But Lamont Wade, and, I like him. I mean,
I like him, but not as your... if he's like your corner outfielder, I think that's better too. It's just, is his Lamont Wade Jr., the thing is, his biggest trait is, yes, he gets on base, usually through walking. Like, the Lamont Wade Jr. highlight reel is bat flips after walks. And, like, I mean, I'm whatever when it comes to bat flips, but, like, bat flipping on a walk, like, there comes a time where it's just like, dude, I need a little bit more. and he's a good first baseman. I think, you know, defensively, he's probably a little bit better than Vlad Jr.
Yeah, Vlad's not very good defensively.
No, but you can also DH Vlad Jr. But the thing is, it's just first base is a power position. You know, you look around the league, some of all the best teams in baseball, they got a big bopper who could play first base. The Giants, as much as I love Lamont Wade Jr. because he can get on base, he's not that big bopper.
The Giants don't, I wouldn't think, just off the top of my head, have enough assets to get both of those guys. Maybe one, maybe Bichette, but I don't know that, because you have to trade Bichette.
It'll
both
be
of
tough.
Those guys, I want to say, are under team control for the next year, which is very attractive.
Yeah. No, so they would have to give up a lot. Luciano, Carson Wisenhunt, Mason Black. Listen, if you could swing that deal, I think everyone is on the table for that, except for Elliot Ramos, which I don't even know. I think it's kind of clear that he's off the table, and Bryce Eldridge down in single A for the Giants, who is he's the next guy that we're supposed to be getting excited for here. Everyone else is on the table, and honestly, if Bryce Eldridge did get included in that deal for Vlad Jr. and Bo Bichette,
go, Bryce.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I'll be like, ah, darn. Let's go enjoy Vlad Jr. now. So maybe Bryce isn't even. Maybe there is no one untouchable. I'm undoing my own take here. No one is untouchable if you're going to make a trade that big, except for maybe Elliot Ramos.
Well, I think especially when it comes to the San Francisco Giants. Because how long have we heard about these kids? It's going on nearly 6 years. I've heard Elliot Ramos. I've heard Luciano's name. And all of these young picks, including Joey Bart. And what did they materialize to? Absolutely nothing at this point. Well, Elliot Ramos, we'll see. The point being is that the future is now. And if a player is established like that of a Bo Bichette, if a player is established like that of a Vlad Guerrero, you can have all the potential you want, Toronto. Mm-hmm. We've been down that road. And the potential hasn't materialized to what it is we thought it could be. So we're tired of playing, well, we got a guy down in double A, we got a guy down in single. We've been hearing that for years.
It's year six under Farhan Zaidi. And I feel like, yeah, we're still playing the wait and see game. We're still playing that we're trying to get their game. Like, I know things weren't great when Farhan showed up, but it's been 6 years, and the best he was able to put together was a team that everything needed to go right if they were to have a successful year, and nothing ever goes right. It's at the point where it's just, I'm tired of playing this waiting game. It's like, either do it or get off the pot. You know, like, get this, make this team respectable. Get this team into the playoffs. One playoff appearance in 6 years. This is getting ridiculous. I'm tired of waiting on these prospects, which is, you know, unproven potential. Sure, they could be good. They might not be good, though. It's the unknown, this what could be. I've had enough of it. Just make a bold move. Do something that shows that you are truly serious about winning, because this is 3 years now we're going to be looking at here, Dan. We're 10 days out from the trade deadline. And Farhan's, you know, he's on other radio stations talking about, oh, we might have to sell. I think selling or standing pat would basically be your way of saying, I'm not going to be back next year. Because I just, it's 3 years of this nonsense. And if they do stand pat and do nothing, it's just like, why even bother at that point? Training camps could be starting up. You know, football season, basketball season would be right around the corner. If on August 1st, the Giants have stood pat at the deadline, they're not doing anything, goodbye, we'll see you next year. Like, that's what it's going to be for them. That's where they're gonna fall on the ladder of relevancy here in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I think this whole idea of mortgaging the future, damn right, mortgage the future. How about winning today? And so this Eldridge kid, anybody else that I've heard about, I'm sorry, man. If I can get Bo Bichette, who was established as a major league bona fide shortstop, I'm not talking about a third baseman, I'm talking about a second baseman, I'm not even talking about a corner outfielder. I'm talking about one of the, if not the key position in Major League Baseball, just about every level. You can have whoever it is that you want. Eldridge be damned. See you later, kid. Anybody else that Toronto wants to take from my minor league system, it is all yours. Because you need to put a team on the field right now that can win today. I'm with you there. And the San Francisco Giants, however, I will say, despite everything that we've talked about over the last 10 minutes and riling on this team, I don't know what it is. But I just feel as though there's, and maybe we can revisit this conversation in a couple of months and you can laugh at me, but I do feel as though there's something left in this team when we get to the stretch.
Well, maybe that's something we can get into on the other side here. What are the Giants showing that are worth, that's worth maybe believing in? What is something about the Giants that is worth looking at and saying, you know what? Maybe we can upgrade this team. We did have Dave Fleming on the Morning Roast yesterday. He kind of got into that a little bit. And we've talked about this a lot on the Morning Roast. The stakes are high for the Giants this year. Playoffs are the expectation. So with all that said, yeah, maybe on the other side, let's get into that.
Speaking of the Morning Roast, how much did you enjoy just rolling out of bed, not at 5 in the morning, this past week?
Dan, have you ever felt like you're on vacation when you have to go to work? I don't even know if that's possible, but that's how I felt this week.
Speaking of closers, you look like a closer these days. I like your style, man.
Yeah, I try to do what
Sammy
I can.
Lubman is one of my favorites here. He is not somebody
that's... It's been so long since we've worked together, too,
absolutely,
man.
Let's do this. All right, when we continue, we'll talk a little more San Francisco Giants, although, I don't know, man. I mean, the Giants sometimes bore the hell out of me, but we can try and get something out of that. We'll try and rent something out of the Giants. We'll also get into some Brandon Ayuk talk. Laurie Marketing, come on down. Where are you at with the big trade? I got things to say about that. Warrior fans, my God, it's time for the reset. All that and much more. Dan Avone, Sammy Lubman, just getting started on a Saturday. We'll be back with more after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Dan DeVoe is not just a person, he's an entity. He is in some cases omnipotent.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
I'd agree with that, Jersey Ken. Kenny, how you been, my man?
I'm doing all right, you know. And speaking of, when it comes to, like, rocky starts, you guys are talking about the Rockies beating the Giants last night. Friggin' Marlins, man, took it to the Mets last night. So, not a great way for us to start off in Miami.
Well, but listen, I mean, your Metropolitans are finally relevant at this juncture of the season. I mean...
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny because we talk about how the Giants are three games under right now. Maybe four. I don't know if...
Four now.
If they lost one. Okay. Yeah. So, what that means is, like, you know, even though they're only four games out, you still got to make one of those Met-type runs... In order for them to get back, and it's tough. With the Mets, I did not expect it, but, you know, yeah, the Giants got to do something. And
Sarah McDonald's character available throughout the first pitch for the Giants?
I think the Hamburglers might be on call.
By the way, since we're talking baseball and chopping it up here, fellas, the All-Star game, what did they do to my All-Star game? The last All-Star game in America that has some level of entertainment, or at least it did. I mean, the NFL, they don't even have it anymore. It was about time. Long overdue, they stopped playing that Pro Bowl game. The NBA, I think we can all agree collectively, is a joke. And Major League Baseball is quickly headed in that direction.
It is. Hockey still does it pretty well with their All-Star game format. They have, you know, the Central and the Pacific Division do a 3-on-3 in the first period. The Atlantic and the Metro do a 3-on-3 in the second period. The winner of those two play each other in the third period. I had a chance to go to the NHL All-Star game in 2019. It was in San Jose, and they do a great job with that All-Star game. So hockey right now might have the best All-Star game because, yeah, to your point, Dan, it's just the All-Star game, it's become a dull affair. It kind of takes those three true outcomes to another level. There's a lot of home runs.
We those saw uniforms Shohei doing too. Come what the hell?
Oh
are we
my
doing
God!
Here?
Wear your normal uniform.
That's the whole allure of it, right?
I hate these uniforms. This is Rob Manfred's Major League Baseball, though. It's not about the product on the field. It's about what looks pretty on TV, and they're not even getting that right.
I would also say, look at Arlington. If you want to make a bid for the All-Star game, you can't close the roof on an All-Star game.
Well, it's like 105 degrees in Texas in the summer.
I understand.
That's why they had to build that new ballpark.
Yeah, no, I get, well, then I'm sorry. Then you can't have the All-Star game. It just doesn't work.
How does
it
not come back to San Francisco? It was great in 2007. We're already going back to Seattle again. Like, let's get Oracle Park back in the rotation.
No, that's a good point. I think they're always leery of West Coast teams because of that fact that they have open air. And then the game will always start at about 5:30. So you get those shadows where pitchers in the shadows and throwing out of the shadow. And then you have the batter for the first three or four innings. Mm-hmm. He's sitting in that and he's in sunlight and can't pick up the ball. But that aside, you still want that thing open. I don't care. Like that display on the part of Major League Baseball was just not right. And it was the one All-Star game. I'm like, all right, man, this is always fun to watch, but not anymore. My God.
What do you think of that? I don't know if you had a chance. What do you think just when you watch on TV how Globe Life Park looks?
I don't like it.
Yeah, it looks like a... And I know it's Texas, but like I feel like every stadium that's built in Texas has to like also be able to include a rodeo if that makes sense. Like when they're like, I'm looking at it on TV, I'm like, wow, it looks like it'd be a great place to host a rodeo. Oh, wait, it's Texas. That's probably why.
So that's the multi-purpose stadium you got.
That's all I get. You know, I know San Antonio, because the Spurs, they always have to do like that 2-week road trip in February, the rodeo trip, because the Texas rodeo, they play it at, what airline is San Antonio's state arena named after? I don't know.
No idea.
But yeah, that's what I think of whenever I think of Globe Life Park. I always remember when it first opened.
Rodeo and Monster Truck. I think you got to squeeze both of those.
Oh,
in.
Yeah. No, and Globe Life Park looks like it'd be great for both of them. It looks like a big warehouse. Honestly, you know what Globe Life Park looks like? It looks like a big barbecue. Like when you like those like giant barbecues that like the suburban dads have, and they're grilling the burgers and pointing at people like, hey, you want a burger there, sport? Like, that's what Globe Life Park looks like. It looks like you open up the roof and you're going to see a bunch of burgers and dogs there grilling over the coals.
Yeah, there's a couple of places. I mentioned Colorado. I never felt as though they should have got a bid to be a Major League Baseball franchise. I know that sounds sort of harsh.
That was a solid All-Star game they had there a few years ago.
But it's just Colorado has never worked. We talked about if you're a pitcher, why would you go there? Why in the world are you going to go play in Colorado? It's a reason why they haven't been good aside for a couple of years, and they had Clint Hurdle as their manager. But I mean, it's just it doesn't work in the thin air out there. It's crazy. It's absolute nonsense. Not to mention the torrential weather you get this time of the year and all those crazy rainouts.
I guess they did have a little bit of rain before yesterday's game. Yeah, there's some weird weather up there.
But speaking of Colorado and the San Francisco Giants, we're trying to get our arms around this team. I'm on record saying that. Call me crazy, but I do believe that this team, although, you know, it certainly doesn't add up. I mean, when you look at it on paper, and certainly, you know, Jersey Ken, our producer, pointed out how this is a team now 4 games under 500, and it's beginning to stack up where you've got to leapfrog a lot of teams. And despite the fact that you're
five teams you have to get over just to get it. You're 3 games out, but you have to leapfrog 5 teams.
Yeah, but the 3 games out, I think, is still alluring to a lot of people. But you're right. It's now beginning to backlog. But I still have a level of optimism that I think that these kids and the veterans, that there could be a run in this team. They are getting healthy. We talked about Robbie Ray now. Just, I want to say, had a successful stint.
Think he went 5 1/3 yesterday. He's expected to return, I believe, on this road trip here. And expectations are high for him. We had Dave Fleming on the morning roast yesterday. And this is what he had to say about Robbie Ray.
Robbie Ray, the expectation should be pretty high. Like, Robbie Ray looks great physically. He's throwing hard. He's got a track record of dominance when he's healthy and right. Can he be fine with his command coming back immediately? I don't know. But I think the expectation should be pretty high. To me, he's the really intriguing one. You know, I mean, the bottom line with him is if he pitches really well, he's going to opt out. And so then you got a big decision on your hands with him.
So high expectations for Robbie Ray. He's looking really good. If he rejoins this rotation, plus with how Blake Snell is looking, plus with how you feel about Logan Webb, which I'm a big Logan Webb guy. I think he's one of the better pitchers in baseball. Going back to what he did against the Dodgers in that 2021 playoff series, you know, he is the ace of this staff. If you got Webb, Snell, and Ray, and they're all cooking, you have one of the better top threes in baseball at that point. So that's going to have you feeling really good. I don't know what you're going to get out of Alex Cobb this year, to be honest. He's 36 years old, and I don't know how many guys are having career years at age 36 these days.
He's Tommy John, right?
No, he had a hip issue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he had a hip strain of some, yeah, hip surgery of some
Cobb
sort.
Cobb was the Tommy John.
Ray was Tommy John.
I mean, Ray. Yeah,
Ray was Tommy John, and then, yes, then Snell, obviously, with his adductor. So then you throw Cobb in there. He'll be fresh. If he can give you 5 quality innings a night, I'll absolutely take that. And then you got Kyle Harrison, yeah. Hayden Birdsong bringing up the rear. The yeah. And then you move Jordan Hicks to the bullpen, which that's not his long-term destination. He will be a starting pitcher predominantly in his time with San Francisco. But I do believe that this year the best thing would be to move him to the bullpen. But when you look at that, you look at pitching staff, Webb, Snell, Ray, Cobb, Harrison, Birdsong, Hicks. If those guys are all healthy and they're all pitching to their capabilities, yeah, you have every right to feel optimistic about what this team can do.
Well, that and the fact that, again, the Elliot Ramoses of the world, Luis Matos has to start for me in right field. Now, I know Yastrzemski is still
your
guy. He's
been struggling bad against lefties,
though. He has, but you got to make a commitment to him. You have to, like, just say, I'm leaning in on the youth. That's part of my optimism. I've seen enough of Yastrzemski, and I know that, look, he's a good defender. He's much better than Matos, I think, in right field. But it's if you're going to lean in on the youth, and if you're going to make this run, there's got to be a changing of the guard. And I think what's really symbolic of that is Yastrzemski's been on this team for, what, 5-6 years now. And I think at the trade deadline, he's a piece that a lot of teams, a lot of veteran teams that are in the hunt would love a guy like that, Yastrzemski.
He's a good fourth, you know, outfielder, third or fourth outfielder. Conforto could be an interesting piece, too. I mean, Farhan did kind of throw that, you know, kind of... You know, the vote of confidence at some of these young guys with some of the moves. You know, when he DFA'd Nick Ahmed, you know, that was a sign. He even said, you know, we're committing to these young guys now. You're seeing a little bit more Slater's Tyler Fitzgerald. Gone. Slater's gone as well. He was moved because he wasn't the lefty masher that he was said to have been once upon a time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you moved off those guys, and that does, yeah, it opens things up for Matos. It opens things up for Tyler Fitzgerald and Brett Wisely to seize more playing time. So, yeah, they are kind of giving them that vote of confidence. They are having that changing of the guard moment, so to speak. The downside of that, though, is when you are playing with a lot of young guys in a playoff race, it doesn't change the expectations at all, but you're going to have those growing pains. You're going to have those moments where just young guys make mistakes. It happens. It's hard to get, you know, or other teams, they find weaknesses in their game. I think you're seeing that right now with Elliot Ramos, with pitchers starting to go up high against him. That's something he's going to have to adjust to. So, yeah, it's just part of the deal you make when you go with a youth movement.
But I like the blend. I like the fact that you're young and that your core being your veterans with Chapman, Tyro Estrada, and Lamont Wade, and then Patrick Bailey, who is also, I mean, you could throw him in as one of the youngsters as well. It's a good mix.
Yeah,
it's just, it's a good balance. And there's just, again, to me, I feel as though that, and again, maybe it's wishful thinking, and I am not one of those guys that wakes up more, you know, I know you're a huge Giant fan. I wouldn't even consider myself a huge Giant, you know, follower, but I do believe that there's something about this year's team that there's a little X factor or there's a little component here that sometimes, you know, you get that little leprechaun in your back pocket. And I just feel as though the Giants, who've been hovering around 500, a step forward, two steps back, are ready to run off 8 in a row, 12
or 14.
But you see,
I think that's kind of the problem is, like, so much of this team was kind of built on the hope that, you know, some magic fairy dust will come fluttering down and turn this, you know, toad of a team into a prince. Dan, the fact of the matter is throughout this year, other than that one road trip through Pittsburgh and New York, they've not really risen up and taken advantage of the opportunities they've had to go on a run. They've had opportunities. Every test they've had thrown at them, they've kind of failed. The stat that I've been keeping an eye on this year, Dan, that just blows me away. When they have a chance to get to 500, so when they come into a game, you know, one game below 500 and a win will get them even, you know what their record is in those games? They are 2-10 with a chance to reach 500.
So what is that?
One of those wins was in game two. They lost that first game to San Diego, and then they came back and won that second one. The other one happened during that Pittsburgh-New York trip. Other than that, every time the Giants have a chance to get to 500, they've always lost. You know, you look at it just, you know, last time looking at the standings, I got them right here on my computer. I don't know if we'd noticed this, but the Houston Astros have quietly worked their way into first place.
Yeah.
Part of the reason why they did that is they got on a tear in June. They got back to 500. And then after they got back to 500, they won 10 of their next 16 games. They didn't slow down when they got to 500. They just hit another gear. The Giants, every time they get to that level, they immediately regress. How many times have we woke up this year? They're four games below 500 today. It seems like every day we're waking up, they're two or three or four games below 500. Like at some point, you know, you're two thirds of the way into the season. It's not a matter of, well, maybe there's something in there. I think it's a matter of, well, maybe this is just what you are.
Yeah.
And I think that's where
it's what they were last year.
You know, and this is where I start turning my attention to the front office. This is, you know, Farhan said that we put a lot of chips in on this team. He spent over $300 million in contracts this offseason. You have a payroll that's over $200 million this year. And this is the best product that you could put out there in year six of your tenure. And so, like, right now, is this a team that has kind of earned the right to have additions made at the deadline? To be honest, I have to say no. We'll see what they do here.
So you're selling?
I'm not go there yet. So my thing has always been on July 21st, which is tomorrow, be at least three games or less back of a playoff spot. I just wanted you to at least be positioned there. And then that gives us 9 days to bang on the table and say, go get me a hitter. Because I think if you're in that bubble, if you're within three games at that time, which they are right now, a win today would, you know, guarantee that they're within that, you know, arbitrary space that I mentioned, then yeah, you are legally speaking in the playoff hunt. So you can possibly go out and make an addition to beef up your lineup and try and make a run. I mean, it helps that the National League is god awful this year.
Yeah.
So that makes it a little bit easier to kind of justify.
Philadelphia.
Well, yeah, I'm talking. The National League wild card race is just god awful this year. You know, in the last 2 years, you've needed about 86, 87 wins to get that sixth spot. Right now, 84 wins might be enough to get you there. And so the Giants need to win. They're at 47 wins right now, so they need to win 37 of their final, which is just 61 games, to get to that point. 60.
Right?
They played game 98 yesterday, so they got 63. Yeah, sorry, they got 63 games left.
Right.
So they got to win 37 of their final 63 games to do that. They've shown me nothing this year that would suggest that they can go on a run that long and sustain that kind of success over that kind of period of time. They just haven't done it. Part of it is because they haven't been healthy, but that's what happens when you put a roster together with guys with injury concerns. So at the end of the day, it kind of all goes back to Farhan Zaidi. You built this team. This is where we're at. And if you don't do anything to it, it's just like, what do we do here? We've been treading water for 3 years or watching the Dodgers put together one of the greatest baseball runs in history. And it's just like, when's the last time Giants fans even thought about winning the division? We're thinking about doing everything we can, straining ourselves, blowing up our farm system just to see this team get to the sixth spot in the wild card to sneak in that back door and hope that we can go on a run.
Well, I think it's like, fair comparing.
We're not even thinking about the division at all for 3 years. It's ridiculous.
I don't think it's fair comparing Farhan of the Giants to the Dodgers because the Dodgers are that one of one.
But at the same time, though, like, you can't compare them, yes, because the Dodgers are in a whole other, you know, multiverse than the Giants right now. Like, the Dodgers are playing six-dimensional baseball. The Giants, they have bats and balls and gloves, and sometimes they score runs. But at the same time, like, that is the standard. That is the comparison. What is the goal every year in Major League Baseball, Dan?
Well, to win.
To win the World Series.
Yeah,
in order to do that, you got to be able to get past the Dodgers' of the world. And when you're in a situation where you're not even thinking about challenging them because you're just not even in their league, like, that's just unconscionable.
Well, I would push back and say, okay, the Dodgers are up here and they have LA as the backdrop to begin with, just proximity and location.
I guess that appeals to some people.
Well, if I'm a young man and I'm Shohei and I played in Anaheim, and there's a lot of people, whether it's the LeBron James of the world, whether it's Hollywood or what have you, or the sunshine or the beaches, the women, I mean, you pick, all right? For a young guy, not me, maybe not you, but if you're in your early 20s and you have your entire world in front of you, Major League Baseball is a professional athlete, Los Angeles is very, very alluring. So, just by location alone. Secondly, you can write a check for whatever amount because Magic Johnson and company got your back. And you can just simply go out and outbid anybody for any star. And then, on top of all of that, to compound things, it's not as though they have a bad farm system.
Dodgers have had a top 10 farm system going back to 2008.
It's almost unfair because they replenish guys.
Well, they're doing it correctly.
Yeah, as much as we talk about the Shoheis, as much as we talk about the Freddie Freemans and the Mookie Betts, it's, you know, the Jock Petersons back in the day. It's the Will Smiths also. These guys that they continue to bring up. So that's the model franchise. If I'm San Francisco, I can't do that because San Francisco simply isn't L.A.
Well, right? See, I don't know about that. I mean, yeah, a lot has been made about the struggle to sign free agents.
My point being is that you have to get a little creative and do it a different way, which I think...
Well, I think you have to build internally.
In defense of Farhan, he recognizes he has to go after some fringe players, and he's looking to... He can't necessarily go out and get Aaron Judge, because Aaron Judge, at the end of the day, wants to play in New York and not San Francisco.
See, I don't know if I fully buy into that, the whole... You can't bring guys here because it's the city or whatnot there. Because the Giants have been able to win still in the past despite these things. Now, granted, yeah, free agent hitters, it's kind of been a bit of a struggle. There was a time where they didn't even go after any free agent hitters. That entire championship run, they didn't even try to jump in on these hitters. Because, first off, that was offense was kind of down during that time. You know, that time from 2007 to 2015, it was a very pitching dominant era of baseball. And that played very well to the brand of baseball the Giants were playing at the time. So there really was no need to go all in on some of these hitters.
But wouldn't you agree it's pitching dominant now?
I think offense is a little bit more important now. I think with the Statcast revolution, you're seeing, power hitters are kind of getting really more into that launch angle mentality. Power is up right now.
I want to say that
batting average is way down this
243.
Year. 243. Oh, so it's because pitchers are throwing harder than ever. But you need power in this lineup. And when you're going after guys like Bryce Harper in 2019, when they went after him, I didn't think that was ever going to work out because the Giants were just such a team in flux. He even said he wasn't really sure who was going to be the manager after that. Remember, he signed a few weeks after Bruce Bochy announced that he was stepping down. And so Bryce wanted to go to Philadelphia because things seemed a little bit more stable there. And ironically enough, I think he actually liked Gabe Kapler. You look at the Giancarlo Stanton the year before. What was that? It was 2018. He wanted to go to a team that was trying to win right now. The Giants were a 98-loss team trying to woo him. That was never going to happen. Fast forward to Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge was never going to leave New York. Farhan Zaidi even admitted himself that he never thought that Aaron Judge was going to be here, which was ridiculous that you would even admit that.
Farhan's cooked.
Exactly. He's barbecue chicken right now. The fact that you would admit that, I remember asking him about this, and it's just like... he says, we believe, we can get any free agent we can go after. Then why'd you say that about Aaron Judge? So you're saying two different things here. But Judge was never going to leave New York. And again, why would Judge leave, the Mecca, basically, for a team that was coming off an 81-81 season and half the fan base is rejecting the product that they're putting out here? With Shohei and Yoshinobu Yamamoto this last offseason, Shohei was never going to come here. The only thing the Giants could have done was jack up the price on the Dodgers a little bit. The Giants could have given him $2 billion. You know what would have happened? The Dodgers come in with $2.1 billion, Shohei's going there. Shohei was never leaving L.A. Shohei would have gone to the Dodgers in 2018. The only reason he didn't was because the DH wasn't universal at that time. And then Yamamoto, he was probably going to go wherever Shohei went. So... as far as these free agents, I think part of it is just the Giants were not in a situation to land these free agents because they just weren't good enough. Dan, the Dodgers for years have been setting basically a foundation, a homegrown foundation of great baseball players through great draft picks that Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi, to a degree, presided over. That's what sets you up to make trades for Yu Darvish. That sets you up to make trades for Mookie Betts. That sets you up to sign a Freddie Freeman, to attract a Shohei Ohtani. That's how you do it from the bottom up. And I think the Giants wanted to do that. Farhan's just failing at that.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. But I would even say that during their heyday, when they were winners of, three World Series in a span of less than a decade, that it was a team that still wasn't attracting the big free agents.
Well, I think they didn't even really try. A part of it, though, is they weren't really even trying to.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a very homegrown team. And, that was just once they had their pieces, because remember, they didn't want to sign any big-name pitchers. They tried to go after John Lester after 2014, and that was kind of they ended up the Cubs just outbid them there. But that was the first time they actually tried to go after a pitcher since Barry Zito. The reason why they didn't go after big-name pitchers was because of the Barry Zito experience.
Yeah.
They did not want to drop another $100 million-plus contract on a pitcher who was going to be well into his 30s for most of that duration. So there was just, they were kind of scared off from doing that for the longest time. And then on top of that, they just didn't have the desire to go after hitters. So there is some context to the lack of major free agent signings during that time.
Well, I think that, to your point, that everybody wants to build through the minors. You give me any team in the major leagues, but I would say more so the San Francisco Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we saw, when they were organic is when they were winning. When Timmy
Well, that was probably one of the more organic teams in this organization's history, too. I mean, for a while, the Giants were kind of a ship without a sail, a rudderless ship, so to speak, for much of the 70s and 80s. It really wasn't until the 90s when they got Barry Bonds.
That was
your centerpiece. Then they started getting free agents. Yes. Then they started bringing in guys. You know, Jeff Kent, and JT Snow, those guys were trades. But, later on, especially in those early 2000s, signing hitters to put around Bonds was not a struggle at all.
You got the goal, my brother.
But I think that missing on minor league players, whether it's the Joey Barts or the guys that they've drafted that just didn't materialize, that's really what has set this team, I think, in arrears. As much as we can, because they're never going to be, as you mentioned, players for free agents. And so it has to come through within, and that's really where, if you were to lay any of the blame at the feet of Farhan, that's where I think this whole thing begins and ends. All right, we continue here on 95.7 The Game. Sammy, you want to go another round with the Giants, or can we move on?
Oh, we
man?
Can do Giants as long as we want. Shake it up. We got so many places to go. You know what, Dan? I got a question for you on the other side I want to throw at you, and I hope we can get some callers involved on it, too. But I'll bring that up on the other side.
Give me a tease. What
that is your tease right there.
All right.
Tune in to the other side, and I'll throw that question at you.
I mean, is it something sports? Related or
it's absolutely sports related.
I never know. All right, we'll continue here with a question about I have no idea what. Sam Lubman, Dan DeVone on a Saturday morning here on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.